This week on the Famicom Dojo podcast, we talk about NES Remix and introduce two new segments, Future Retro.
There's one more, right?
Yep. And Pile of Shame.
And this episode is being broadcast live from Vink's bed.
Hey, Vink.
Hey.
So, did you see the latest Nintendo Direct?
The latest, the one like, what was it, a week ago?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I saw it. I foolishly watch all of them.
Oh, no.
I guess my expectations are too high. I always think Nintendo's going to be like, okay, in this Direct, we'd like to let you know that the Virtual Console is not worthless.
Yes.
Or here is footage from the new Shenmue or something. You know, I mean, but it's usually like, here are the games that are coming up. You've seen these already. Here's a little more information and tidbit. Like, I mean, there was the Nintendo Direct that they announced a couple things, but the biggest thing for me was the Earthbound.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watch them anyway, and even though they come up pretty late at night here in Japan, so I watch them streaming. I always watch the Japan stream and the English stream at the same time, which gets a little confusing.
I bet. Speaking of making sure that the virtual console isn't useless, did you download NES Remix?
Well, yeah, immediately. Like,
what's the sigh for? Exasperated sigh already. I know, we're only a couple minutes into this.
I don't know. Maybe that should have been the thing that thrilled me the most, but it was. It definitely was. I downloaded it, pretty much immediately.
Good, because it was up right away, so that was pretty awesome.
Nintendo, I have a love-hate thing with how Nintendo reveals things.
Sure.
It actually happened. I'm like, it's available now? That's awesome. That's so great. But with a lot of games, I'm like, Nintendo, just announce anything. Tell me something's coming, you know? Because they could have gotten a little mileage out of that if they would have, like, announced it, you know, a few months ago. Hey, this is coming. Let's look forward to it.
Well, that's what they always do, though. So it was kind of nice for a change. They talked about something, and then you could download it right away.
Yes.
I mean, besides, since it's like a collection of retro games, more or less, then it's really nice that they didn't make us wait. It's like, I'll just, you know, pop this into my NES toaster and play it right now. Why would I wait for this $15 game?
So I guess you bought it too.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think?
Well, I'm not going to give an exasperated sigh, but my initial impressions before I really got into it was, you know, I own all these games already. Some of them I have on virtual consoles. Some of them I just have in multiple cartridge formats. And I don't really know if this is doing much for me. The remixes are interesting, but I have to unlock them.
For me, I thought, this is WarioWare goes retro, like WarioWare for nerds.
Yeah. Like I always enjoyed the WarioWare levels that were based on the retro games the most. And so it's kind of nice to sort of have a game that's all that, yet it's different.
I don't know. I like it. I think that it's really nice, and it definitely hits that nostalgia bone. Definitely.
Sure.
It's a little bit of a missed opportunity.
How so?
Like, okay, if anyone's not familiar with NES Remix, it's basically like little bite-sized chunks of, like, hundreds of them, right?
Yeah, like there are a bunch of, like, really early titles, plus some later larger ones like Super Mario Brothers and Zelda. But most are talking like Urban Champion. Is that really a classic? And Ice Climber, or what's the default set? It's something smaller like balloon fight and the original Mario Brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah, and you unlock more as you go along. I think basically what you're unlocking is the American launch lineup and a couple slightly later released titles like Zelda.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, this is the American version we're talking about, because like the Japanese one's Famicom Remix, and I'm not sure if they have the same games or not, actually.
You'd think that the Japanese ones would do a couple of the games like Devil World and things that never came out here, because those were, you know, regarded as more classics than some of the stuff that did get in there. But anyway.
Well, was Nintendo published, though? I mean,
who did make this? I'm guessing that Nintendo's pretty hands-off with their code. Maybe it was just some ROM hackers.
Oh, dear.
Which is the main criticism the game got when it came out, was that it was just a giant collection of ROM hacks.
Yeah, but they got paid for them for a change.
I don't know. Like, I thoroughly enjoy it.
I should probably explain that I just don't feel like the target audience for this game, because. Especially us in particular, right? Like, you know, it's our job to delve through the esoterica of retro games. So very little of this is new to us. I feel like this is more geared towards lapsed retro gamers, like people who haven't seen any of these games in the last 30 years, or people who haven't played them at all.
Yeah. I can understand that. I can understand that. I think, gosh, is this a hipster game?
I do feel a bit like it's geared towards the AD&D crowd, because there were a couple of times I wish I could just play more. There's this Legend of Zelda level where you're supposed to get a bunch of hearts without getting hit. And I'm like, I wonder how much of the map I can explore before this happens.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
What I'm guessing is that they're fully emulated game. I mean, for at least the challenge is that the whole game is on there. They just have a timer.
Right. And then, and like it ends after a certain point. It's probably easy enough to have like a ROM restore point to load up.
Yeah. I wonder how that works. That would be an interesting thing to figure out. I like the Miiverse integration. I like that a lot with all virtual, like, I don't know.
I didn't see much of it to begin with. It wasn't until I got to the turtle tipping stage in Super Mario that I even saw a comment come up after I completed it. And I was just like, I'm going to make a comment now. I did a Famicom Dojo video about this, and let's see if anyone saw my comment.
I'll yeah it if I see it.
I'm going to go to Miiverse right now, actually, and see if anyone commented on it.
But I really enjoyed it. And I think I'm getting my money's worth out of it. It's nothing I haven't seen before. Although I guess I will say that I've never really played Urban Champion much. So I've played it more with the NES Remix version than I've played the actual cart.
Yeah.
I think maybe we should explain a little bit what the Remix levels are like. Like there's one where they've put in the Zelda, the Link sprites from Legend of Zelda into Donkey Kong.
Fascinating.
And that's what 5 minutes ago I started talking about. And here's where I feel it's a little bit of a missed opportunity. You play as Link in Donkey Kong, which I think is super cool. And he has his sword, but he can't use it. Wouldn't it be better if he was able to like sword up those barrels?
Yeah, I think that's what I thought that the game was going to be at first, until people explained, like, no, it's more like WarioWare, and I'm like, it's too bad, because I was thinking that. It's like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, you could sort of mash these games together and bring in mechanics that weren't intended to be in the game, like, you know, Link hacking a barrel into.
Or making ice climbers playable.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah, that game I would play. This is not that game, though.
That's mean. You know, I loved Ice Climbers as a kid. I really did. My babysitter's like son or something, I don't know, had it, and played that a whole bunch. But I revisited recently, and it's not as good as I remembered it.
I misunderstood what you meant. I thought that you meant that you should make them playable in the Donkey Kong level, not as you should make the game playable at all to anyone who loads it up.
Yeah. The game should be playable. But I don't know. For me, I thought it was... I think if I didn't grow through it already, it'd be a cool little nostalgia trip. But I would love to play as something like a Master System remix, because I never experienced those when they happened.
Okay.
That might be fun. For me, the nostalgia thing definitely worked for it. I liked being able to play them all on the gamepad. That was nice.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I don't think I've even turned my TV on when I played this game.
It made me consider rebuying a couple of them.
Which ones don't you have?
On Virtual Console, I have none of them.
Oh, I suppose you didn't transfer your Wii to your Wii U, did you?
No, I never had any of these on.
You didn't even have it on there either. Okay.
Because, like, hold on. I'm podcasting right now from my bed, and surrounding me are four. Okay. That's the sound of cartridges. Okay. Like, you know, these are all pretty common games, you know. Balloon Fight and Ice Climber are a little more pricey. I mean, I've owned all these in multiple formats over the years, but it made me kind of want to play them on Virtual Console just for the whole Miiverse thing. So, what do you say? Is this a buy or is this a skip?
NES Remix? Well, you know, it really depends. So, speaking of Miiverse, just for a second, though, I got three yas on my post. Don't know if anyone watched the video as a result, but there you go. I think everyone should own it, just to own it. I personally have issues with playing it just because it's just like this tedium of getting through these parts of games that I already know how to play to get to the new stuff that I really want to experience. Which there are worse problems to have.
I didn't see it like that. I don't know. I liked the little challenges. The things will be like. A challenge will be like defeat 10 Koopas in 5 seconds or something, and they'll be kind of lined up. And you know, you can get a low score by just jumping on a bunch of their heads, but if you know to grab one of the shells and just ram through them, you know, you'll get a higher score. And I hate to say this, but I think NES Remix might be kind of a rival to our whole Train Your Game video series.
Oh goodness, yeah. So someone had told me that there was the turtle tipping thing in there. I think it was Phil Bond before I actually got to the level myself, because I actually put down the game after I initially bought it and didn't really go back to it. And after he was talking about playing it some more, I got into it again, and then I got to that level, and I was actually really angry because the way it works, and I knew this from having to make the video. You can only hop so many times automatically before the whole cycle stops and you got to start over. And the point of this level is to get 10 in a row, and it stops at 8 if you don't do anything after you get the process started. So I'm like, what the heck is it supposed to have me do here? And you got to kind of float in the air left and right a little bit until you get all 10. And the way I did that was by waiting until I got about 6. And then kind of starting to move Mario around a little bit. Because the best way to do it, if you're actually playing the game, to keep from losing the shell, is to, you know, do your round of 8, let it stop, and then just, you know, do another round of 8 and keep going until the time runs out. Yeah. You don't actually want to do it this way. But they don't actually show you how to start. They start you in the air where you need to go to get this going. But, you know, I think our video does a good job of actually showing how to get to the level and then to actually start jumping on the turtle. But that's just my opinion.
But one of the things is it's showing people like all the hidden stuff. I really wonder how a younger gamer would respond to this game, though. I really do.
Good thing you're a growing one right now.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be a few more years, so.
She hasn't figured out the whole D-pad gameplay stuff yet.
Oh, yeah. This is the iPhone generation.
Yeah, she's... You know, if I
probably loves Fruit Ninja
on the Wii U gamepad, she's trying to touch it to touch Mario to make him move, but it doesn't work that way.
Maybe that's how they should add stuff direct to the Virtual Console. Actually, I don't want them to spend any more time trickling those games out.
But she likes watching it, And you know, when I do a challenge a few times and finally get it, she'll clap. So
oh, well, that's something. good for you, Daddy, for playing this ancient game that I have no interest in.
Them, I gotta say that it's a bit humbling because some of the stuff I used to be able to do very well when I was a kid that I've kind of forgotten how to do.
Oh, like Excitebike, I can't 3-star one of these levels, one of the remixes where you get like the spotlight, and it's because you have to land flat every time and you have to hit all the boosts, and I just can't do it.
I know, it's just like we're trying to tell everyone else to train their game, but like, wow. You know, I had that going for me. I'm like, wow, I'm really bad at new games. But, you know, the ones I grew up with that I had as kids, I thought I was still pretty good at, but wow.
So I have the game open right now, and I've never actually clicked on the eShop icon inside the game before. It takes you to one of the shop owners, like in the Zelda screen, and there's like 3 8-bit style carts in there, and the guy is just saying, "Go to Nintendo eShop, will you?" oh, it's great. So I was about to complain a little bit that it seems like this game is just a way to make us spend more money on other eShop titles.
Well, in a way it is, and I think Nintendo wouldn't have been wrong to make it a free title.
Maybe, yeah,
not as complete as it is, but like it's way better than a demo.
Right.
It did make me want to replay those games. Like after I played NES Remix for a while, I threw in and beat Mario. Just because, well, I was feeling a little bad about the challenges. I'm like, am I bad at video games now? Mario, 15 minutes. And I'm like, yeah, I'm still kind of bad at video games, but I can beat Mario. At this point, beating the original Super Mario Brothers is like muscle memory.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
You even have to look at it.
I'm pretty sure that I could do that 5-minute challenge, given sufficient time and motivation.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm liking NES Remix. I like some of the remix levels. Have you completed it yet?
Oh no! I mean, I can't play it enough in one sitting to get through most of it. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of challenges, and I'm 3-starring most of them. But I get a little stubborn sometimes when I don't get them right away.
I would be a lot farther in the game if I wasn't so completionist.
Yeah.
Like yeah, if I don't get 3-star instead of going, because you don't have to 3-star anything to move on to the next challenge.
No, but you know, the more stars you get, the faster you unlock like the remixes and other games. I got like 50 stars in Super Mario Brothers, and I have 18 levels unlocked.
If I 1-starred a bunch of them rather than insisting that I get 3 before going on to the next one. Ooh, the stickers. I like the stickers.
I haven't used them yet.
Really? They're fun. You unlock stickers in this that you could use in Miiverse posts.
Huh. I don't think I know how to do that yet.
It's fun. Play with it.
Okay, so Excitebike right now, I'm looking at this. Excitebike has like a that logo for the bits you need to get for those stamps. And it has like a x2 on over it right now. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
It's really interesting. I've only played 3 side bike levels, so it can't be because I did very, very insane. Oh, sorry. I've only played 2 and I've unlocked the 3rd one.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. This game. Yeah, I just got a love-hate relationship with it because it's just so inconsistent to me. There are things that I can do really easily that apparently is worth, like, you know, like the rainbow background 3-stars.
Yeah.
Because I did super amazingly well. And I'm like, I just played it, you know, like I would normally play it. And then sometimes there's things I think should be really easy. I get like 2 stars. And I'm like, what are you doing to me?
One of the early Mario challenges is just to get these vines to come out.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it should be the easiest thing in the world, but I was completely stumped on how to get like, on how to use the jumping jack thing.
Okay.
What the timing was to get it to jump. I mean, you can easily go around, but then you get bad time. I finally figured it out, but I'm like, that one was really hard. And then right after that, I did a challenge where it was like, get 3 flagpoles. And I'm like, okay, 3-star, first time.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with if you remember, like, you know, if like had to go down three pipes or something, remembering which pipe you can go down. Because on one that's super easy, but like the next level they showed, and I don't remember which one it is, I couldn't remember right away which one it was. And so if you have to guess, then you don't really get it the first time. But you play again, and it's like, well, I know where they all are now, and it's really easy.
Are we purists?
Are we purists? I think I am.
Like, do you feel that NES Remix cheapens the original experiences or enhances them?
I think overall it enhances them. You know, I'm sitting here complaining about how I think it's all really easy, except for these rare exceptions. But if it gets people excited to play these games again, and even if it is kind of a cash grab where they're trying to get you to buy the Wii Virtual Console versions, sorry, I should say the Wii U Virtual Console versions of these games, then that's good, right? I just kind of wish, I'm sure it's not an either or thing, I just kind of wish that they would release more eShop stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of making me buy the stuff that I already have. I want things I don't know. I want like rarer games with, you know, Miiverse support and able to play it on my gamepad. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
I don't know. I like it. I like this game, but it makes me wonder if I am becoming one of those old crusty gamers who just likes old things redone.
All right, so I got 281 seconds to finish this particular Zelda challenge I was talking about earlier. Let's see how much of the map I can explore without getting hit and without getting enough hearts. Oh, shoot, I have one heart left to get. Oh, no.
You think it's the full game in there?
I would hope so. All right, got to be careful here because there's the Zoras and there's the little sand dudes whose names I forget. So, yeah, we started this conversation and it seemed like you didn't like the game that much, but now you're telling me that you think it's pretty great. I'm so confused, Vink. Help me.
I think it was worth the money. I really enjoy the game. But it is the game that my 8-year-old self would have come up with.
Right? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? I can't decide.
8-year-old me didn't have very good taste, but, you know.
Well, I would sit around and like design Mega Man levels, like Mega Man 4 before there was a Mega Man 4 kind of thing.
Yeah, I would do platforming games on pieces of notebook paper, those old spiral notebooks, you know. And I'd have to use the holes that were already punched in there as game elements.
Nice.
It's pits if you came across one, you know. I had a very interesting idea for a game. There was, because I couldn't draw very well.
Okay.
The character was just a dot.
Oh.
Something like that. And he'd go around, but like he could get power-ups that caused him to become multiple dots. Like one would be a dot with other dots swirling around, so that's invincibility, because that would take out the other enemies.
Oh, nice.
Turned him into like a triangle, you know, like... He'd have multi-shot. He could, like, shoot. He was, you know, it was mainly a platformer, but with lots of power-ups. Basically, that game, I think Nintendo stole it from my mind.
Well, you had to figure, too, that, like, a lot of these people who are making these games now probably, you know, were kids and grew up on this, and this is just the thing that they get to do because they don't get to work on the next Zelda game or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on a lot. But when I was young, yeah, I would be like, yeah, what if Link was in Donkey Kong, you know?
Right. I still want to see this game. Like, they didn't make it, but I want to see them like bend, like NES Remix 2, where they properly bend all these concepts around, and you know, maybe they have to actually reprogram it a bit to make it work. But I would play that. I would totally play that.
I want to see Mario and Metroid go on a date.
Oh, no.
That's what 8-year-old me would have said. Mario and Metroid should date.
Yeah. Why can't Metroid crawl?
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
God. All right, so I've made it all the way to level one here. You can't get to the select screen, so you can't get to any other items. So you just have the starting bombs and the sword. But I'm totally just, you know, crawling around the dungeon right now. I got a key. I'm fighting the Stalfos. Yep, it's all in here. It looks like some of the secret areas were already burned away. I can't get to the candle, so I can't finish this. I'm sure because it's all time based, I'm going to get a terrible score if I ever finish it.
Oh yeah. You can go where you want.
Do you get like bonus points for, you know, ingenuity?
I think it's only based on time, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think I just got hit. Nuts. Anyway.
Is NES Remix, buy it now, instant classic, and meh?
Meh?
Is that what you're going with? I mean, like, we've gone back and forth here. Do we like this game?
I feel like other people besides me would like this game.
This is why we don't do reviews.
Oh, goodness. At least not retro reviews.
And could have been better.
All right. So maybe we should talk about more recent games then.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to try something a little new here called Future Retro. We'll just chat about a game that I will chat about a game that I played recently that I feel like will become a future classic. But Vink,
I will talk about a game that was maybe a little more unknown, or at least unknown to me, some game from the past that I've rediscovered now.
Do you want to go first?
Well, I guess I could. My game's older, actually.
Okay.
See if I actually have it here.
Actually going through your pile?
Yep. Yeah, I've got a bunch of games on the headboard of my bed. Which is exactly as sexy as it sounds.
Welcome to the Famicom Dojo Bedcast with your host, Vink.
Hello, I'm in my bed surrounded by Famicom games and...
Oh, that sounds sexy. Tell me more.
All right, actually, the game that I'd like to talk about today is actually not a Famicom game, but a
PC
Engine, and this PC Engine game is a Doraemon game.
Oh no!
No! Just wait.
Do I have to? Okay.
It's great. It's Doraemon. Let's see. Meikyuu Daisakusen. But it came out in America, actually. It's one of the very few Doraemon games that got released in America, but they totally changed everything around and they called it Crater Maze.
Interesting.
And basically, it's a game where it's a maze type game. I guess you could call it similar to kind of Bomberman, like the single player mode. But instead of bombing things out of creation, you dig holes and you try to trap these other creatures in the holes as they come by. And you can get all kinds of Doraemon gadgets, little guns and yo-yos and things like that.
That almost sounds like Dig Dug.
A little bit, except it's an overhead type of game.
Okay.
You know, kind of the Zelda perspective.
Sure, okay.
I don't know. It's just really fun. It's a pretty easy game. I can play it on the big screen TV because my daughter is a big fan of Doraemon.
Sure.
She likes to watch it. And I don't know, there's it's just really interesting, the kind of strategy involved to trap all these enemies. I don't know. I've been playing it a lot, and I think it's not an expensive game, and I think people should give it a try. It's kind of easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, and maybe that's why I like it, because I'm weak sauce.
You heard it here first, kids. First, like, I meant first.
The game I can beat, okay. And for me, that's the mark of a truly great game.
Yes, absolutely.
game I could, but more so than that, it's a game that I have beat that I have played again.
Okay.
A lot of games that I beat just go back, you know. Okay, done with that.
But it's fun. And once you beat it, there's a hard mode. I've never beat the hard mode, just because usually by the time I've beat the game, that's probably enough for me. But
sure.
So Crater Maze, a very interesting version, or probably it's probably cheaper to just get the import on this one. Doraemon.
Oh, no. Is that a game you can play without knowing a lot of Japanese? I assume so.
Play without knowing any Japanese, but if you do know some Japanese, the story is kind of funny.
Oh, cool.
But it's but knowing the story is... Here, I'll tell you the story right now. Doraemon is... There is this, like, robot zombie thingy. And he captures all Doraemon's friends, and you want to get Doraemon's friends back.
Oh, cool.
And if you play well, you do. There you go.
Right on. I wonder if Juwario did a video about that. I'm going to look that up. It sounds like the kind of thing he'd cover.
It's like the type of thing he'd do, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see if we can get a that in the show notes. Okay, well, I was going to sort of cheat and go with A Link Between Worlds because I just finished it. But I feel like that's the kind of thing we're going to talk about in the show at some point. So I definitely recommend playing that. But I the game I was playing more recently was Dragon Age Origins. And that you can get on like 360, PS3, or PC. And it's, you know, it's BioWare. It's a Western RPG. We were, in fact, talking about this before the show. This is more my speed of game. Yeah. But I just had a lot of fun memories of it. And I was thinking about that. And then I would go to Reddit, where I was subscribed to the Dragon Age forum, and talk about the game. And that was enough to get me to want to play it again, because people would talk about the different ways of playing through it, the different choices you can make. And as it turned out, I have this save I started, oh man, like 2 or 3 years ago, and never finished. And as it turns out, I can do all the really interesting things people were talking about in this playthrough. So I'm at the Landsmeet now, and I'm going to finish the game pretty soon. But this has been my third time through it, and I learned something. I really don't like the gameplay.
Really?
Well, it's a game that's more meant to be played on the PC. It's like a single player MMO, more or less, the way the gameplay works. You can control any of your party members. There's tactics you can set up to make things a little less cumbersome for you, but mostly I play by like constantly pausing the game and, you know, casting a spell or picking up using like a health potion or something. And I just don't like it. I'd rather play through the story. That's what I'm more interested in, which is why I'm kind of excited for, do you know what the Dragon Age Keep is?
No, I don't know what that is.
So it's to solve certain problems, with porting your save from one game to the next. And in this case, one system to the next, Dragon Age Inquisition, which is going to be the third game in the series, is going to be on next gen consoles. But, you know, people have only played it on like, you know, Xbox, PS3, or PC. So in order to facilitate that jump, or to just cross platforms, if you started on a different system, they're going to let you import your save into this online thing called the Keep, and then use that to sort of transform it into the data that your Inquisition save can import. So it's like the standard points that they can update and fix, because they learned a lot from like Mass Effect game imports, where they made a huge mistake in the first Mass Effect game that they couldn't fix for when you, like, all the way to like Mass Effect 3, there was this problem with face code, so it wouldn't import your Shepard's face correctly. And with this Keep idea, they can go forward, they can fix those things before it even gets to that final game. Because it's hard to patch a game and it costs them money, but they have this separate service that they can run off of, like, you know, instead of being on the Xbox Live service or on PSN, you can send your games off that way. And more than that, is if you want to start your game over without having to play through the first two games to make decisions, you can just make those decisions in the Keep and then import that starting point into Inquisition, which is super cool. So I'm excited for this new game to come out, but, you know, in preparation, I'm doing it the old fashioned way, and I'm going through the first two games on my own again. And I just want to see how it plays out, but I just don't want to have to play through all the battles. Because it's like 60 hours I've sunk into this thing. Probably about 20 since I picked it up again. So I'm probably going to skip Awakening, the expansion. But there's so much about this game that I love, and there's I don't know. I think it's going to be a classic in the future. At least I hope so.
Seems like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. So I'm glad this keep thing is going to come out and make so I don't actually have to do this in the future. But I figured I'd play Dragon Age one more time, and I might not play it again for a really long time after that. But, you know, I think three is a good number to end on. Three playthroughs. So one more thing we want to try and do is another thing where we talk about our piles of shame. Here I'm talking about playing one game three times in a row, but there are lots of games I haven't played even once. How about you?
The amount of games that I have that have not... Well, okay. The number of games that I have played to completion completely dwarfs the number of games that I haven't played to completion, and also dwarfs number of games I haven't played at all. And actually, at this point in my life, the games that I've completed to completion, played to completion, is actually smaller than the number of games I currently have in my house, which are still in their shrink wrap.
Oh no.
That is tragic.
For sure. Well, can you pick one or two? What's on the top of your list that you wished you could play next?
Zombie U.
Okay. Well, you've started that one though, right?
Haven't even opened it.
You haven't even. Oh no! I thought you started it.
No, I haven't even opened that one because that is one of the games that. Well, I can't play completely off the gamepad.
Okay. Right, because of the way that it's part of the way it works actually.
It works. And I can't play it on the living room TV because I got two small girls.
Yes. I see.
Oh, it's very rare that I have the opportunity. I suppose I could play it very, very late at night on the TV with a very low volume.
Okay.
So I have to like get right up to the TV, and actually that might just be too scary.
For you?
The Wii version of Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
The Wii version?
Sorry, the Wii U version.
Okay.
Still unwrapped.
Is that a free-to-play game? No. No. What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of the new Dead or Alive?
Maybe.
But it's sitting there on my pile of shame, and I want to play it, but fighting games, they're fun when you got someone over to play.
Mm-hmm.
Come on over. Let's play.
Well, you can have your daughter play, and she can keep, like, kicking.
Yeah, but she's too good.
She'd probably beat you.
Took Hero down in the same moon fighting game.
Oh, goodness. we'll link that one in the show notes, too. Well, yeah, I got a couple I should probably mention too. I know that like over at Forest Yard, they're talking about doing a game of the year thing. And I just don't think I've played enough games this year. You know, I just finished Zelda, but that's like the only one that I've started, and finished to completion. I just finished collecting all the heart pieces and whatnot. So I'm like done with that game now, except for Hero Mode. But, I picked up two other games for 360 that I got because they were cheap, and I know that they're amazing. Tomb Raider and yeah. BioShock Infinite. And I actually played Tomb Raider before. My friend Najem, I was over at his place last time I was over there, and he's like, "You got to play this game." And I think it's really, really like I haven't really played a Tomb Raider game before, but I'm super interested. Who did this one? Crystal Dynamics.
Was it them? For a long time, just B teams were making them.
Yeah, well, they've done something really special with this one.
Isn't this Square the new one?
Square published it.
Yeah, but they bought Eidos, so
okay.
I don't
Eidos?
No, they're gone. It doesn't matter anymore. But yeah, so I got through like 20 minutes of it, I think. Maybe more, because I got to the part where before I really had a proper weapon, I think I got a bow and arrow, and that's about where I stopped. So I didn't get very far in, but like that entire point up until then was great. So I knew I had to buy it. And I found it somewhere for $40, but got it for $30 because of some sale they were doing. And so that's, I think, less than it's worth, but that's what I paid for it. And then I got Bioshock Infinite because Best Buy had it incorrectly marked down to $15. And I totally got it for that much. What's that?
I haven't played any of the Bioshock games.
Neither have I. I think I played the demo for the first one.
I have the first one.
Okay. The first one you can get with, like, it's free with something, isn't it? I don't remember.
Steam something.
Oh, I'm sure.
At that point, they're giving that game away free with cereal, you know? I mean,
right. But, like, this doesn't take place in sequence with those games. Like, it's, like, in the same universe more, kind of, but it's, like, not, like, Bioshock 3 is this other thing. So that's what I know about it. And, like, Zach Shipley has been singing his praises. So that was reason to get it, but I'm sure I'm going to end the year without having played it.
Yeah, that's what happens.
So, yep, those are our piles of shame. If you guys have anything that you think is the game of the year, future retro stuff, or things that you wish you've played, I think you should leave it a comment in our show notes. What do you think?
I think they should as well.
All right. Yeah, well, I should probably get comments enabled because we just went through a huge redesign for the website, for the videos, and for the podcast stuff. So I think by the time this podcast goes up, you'll be able to comment again. But you could totally go to there, to our website, famicomdojo.tv, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as Famicom Dojo, one word. And yeah, you should totally like leave a comment on our website or on iTunes. Leave a rating, because we would love to have your support. Every little bit helps.
Yep.
Cool.
Good back, bro.
Yeah. Let's do more of this. Yeah.
Famicom Dojo. Was that good or bad?
I don't know.